Sanavadi, and then she took the occupied position as the eternal consort of Lord Shiva, Sri Parvati. So that is what that is mentioned. Satyavajam Prajapadesteshu Shirasya Sampradam Nidhi Avido Yajna Maholsava Kilaha Vayam Jatatrabisara Amavamade Yati Artidami Vibhuda Vrajan Nihi Tasmin Bhaginyo Mama Bhrta Vitswage Dhruvam Gamishyandi Suhurdhi Drakshava Aham Jatasmin Bhavada Abhikamayi Sahobanidam Parivarhamarhidam Tatra Sosurmena Nibhartra Samnidam Madrashasa Klenadhyam Jamadaram Drakshe Chiro Ulkandhamana Maharshivi Tanniyamanam Chamada Dharadvajam. To ye the Dashtirimajalpamayam, Vinirnidam, Bhadi Gunatrayal Majam, Tadapiham Yoshida, Yoshi the Tovicha, Dina the Drakshe, Bhome Bhavachidim, Pasha Prayandira Bhavane Yoshido, Alangrada Kantasaka, Varutasha, Yasam Rajadbil Shidigandamandhidam, Nabovi Mane, Kalaham Savanduni, Katham Sudaya, Pirgeha Kaudugam, Nishamedeha Suravari and Engade. Anahuda, Apivian, this Ogram, Bartur Guru, they have Krasta Gedanam, Tanmi, Prasidi, the Mavartavanjidam, Kartun Bhavan, Karudigo, Badar Hari, Toy Alpanor, they have a Vadraja Shushan, Rubido, Manakhanayachida, Rashirwaja, Evam Giritapriya, Pamashida, Pratia Penata Prahasan, Sohral Priya, Samsmari, Marmavida Kawagi, Kuagistan, Yanahago, Visayam, Samakshada. Shri Bhagavan Vajam, Toyodidam Shobhanam Eva Shobhani, Anahudam Apivian Dibandushu, Te Yadinam Padida Dosha Nushtayo, Beliasan Alpamadena Manyuna, Vidya Tabovita Urvaya Kale, Sadam Gunesh Birahatame, the Lakes, Mudo Hadayam Brahman, Adur Drasham, Stadhana Vashan, Nihitama Huyasam, Naida Drishanam Sudanam Vivekshaya, Grihan Pradiya, the Nevastida Alpanam. Ebhyagadan Vakradhya Abhijakshade, Arabida Bru Biramarshanashivi, Tadha Arivinyar Vidadeshili Mukhe, Shede Erdidango Hadayena Duyada, Swanam Yadha Vakradhyam Durukthivi, Vivanisham Tapyadi Marmadadida, Vyaktam Namal Krishnagade, Prajapade, Priyalpajana, Masisubrasam Mada, Adabhimanam Navidu Prabal Sese Madashrayal Kapiram Pedeyadam Pavachyamani Nikhruda Durendriyam Samardhivi Purusha Buddhisakshinam Agalpam Esham Adhiro Domanjasa Padamparam Dueshti Yatha Surahirim Pratyukam Aprashrayana Bhivadanam Vidhiyade Sathumita Sumadhyame Prajnei Parasmai Purushaya Chetasa Guhashaya Yevana Dehamaninem. Lord Shiva is saying there that normally when you, when somebody comes as a guest, this is how it is to be Pratyukma Prashrayana Abhivadanam. One should get up from one's seat and go and welcome him nicely and thank him for visiting you. And like that, there is a normal procedure how a guest should be welcomed. But here he is saying that, is there any guarantee that Daksha will do any such thing? Pratyagama prashrayana bhivadanam vidhiyade sathumida sumadhyame prajyai parasmai purushaya chedasa guhashayaya yuna dehamanini. Why? Because Daksha is too much in the dehamanini, bodily concept of life. That's the problem, that Daksha is so much in the bodily concept of life, he may not even care to do the proper way of receiving a guest. Sattvam vishuddham vasudeva shabdidam yadiyade tatra puman apavrata Satve Jadasmin Bhagavan Vasudevo Adosha Jomi Namasa Vidhiyade. As far as I am concerned, Lord Shiva says, I have offered respects to Daksha when he came to the sacrifice. The way only thing was that I offered respect to him in the sense that Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, he is a part and parcel of that Supreme Lord. In that way, I respected Supreme Lord situated in Daksha's heart personally myself. I have done that. I didn't have to get up. This is why, because Sadidevi thought for a moment that Shiva has not acted properly. She had this doubt in her mind. And that is why this particular verse was spoken by Lord Shiva. Satvam vishuddham vasudeva shabdidam yadiyade tatra puman avavradaha Satve jadasmin bhagavan vasudevo adhoksha jomi namasa vidhiyade Tate nirikshona vidavideha kral dakshoma madvil tadanu vradaschaye യോ വിശ്വസൃജ്ഞകദംബരോ ഒരു മാമനാദസം ദുർവജ സാഗരോത്തിരാഹ യതി പ്രജക്ഷ്യസ്യതിഹായ മദ്വജോ ഭദ്രം ഭവത്യാനുദതോ ഭവിഷ്യതി സംഭാവിതസ്യ സുജനാൽപരാഭവോ യദാസ സദ്യോ മരണായ കൽപ്പതേ. ഇത് ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതി മഹാപുരാണേ സപ്തസ്കന്ധേ ഉമാരുദ്രസംവാദേ തൃതീയോധ്യായം. സോ ദിസ് വാസ് ദ ഡിസ്കഷൻ ബിറ്റ്വീൻ ലോർഡ് ശിവ ആൻഡ് സതീദേവി, വെയർ ദേ സ്പോക്ക് എബൌട്ട് ദക്ഷസ് ബിഹേവിയർ. And from there we move on to the fourth chapter. Maitreyavajam edavadatva viranam shangana patni anganasham abhaya trachindayan suhurdidraksho parishangida abhava nishkramani nirvishadi divasasam suhurdidraksha pratigada durmana sneha adrudatya shruvala adivikhala bhavam bhavanya pratipurusham mrusha pradakshadi vaikshala jadave padum tado vinishyasya sadi vihayanam shogena roshena jaduyeda hridaham പിത്രോരകാൽ സ്ത്രൈണവിമൂഢീർഗൃഹാൻ പ്രേമനാത്മനോയോർദ്ധമതാൽ സദാം പ്രിയാം താമന്വഗച്ഛന്തോ വിക്രമാം സതി ഏകാത്രനേത്രാനുജരാ സഹസ്രശാഃ സപാർഷയക്ഷോമണിമന്മദാദയ പൂരോപൃഷേന്ദ്രാസ്തരസാ ഗതവ്യഥാഃ താം ശാരികാ കന്ദുകദർപ്പണാം ഭുജം ശ്വേതാദപത്രവ്യജനസ്രഗാദിവി ഗീതായനേർദ്വന്ദ്വിഷംഗവേണുഭിർ പൃഷേന്ദ്രമാരോപ്യ വിടങ്കിതായയോ ആ ബ്രഹ്മദോഷോചിതയജ്ഞവൈശസം വിപ്രാശ്യജുഷ്ടം വിപുലൈശ്ച സർവശ മൃതാർവയ കാഞ്ചനധർമ്മജർമ്മതിർ സൃഷ്ടപാണ്ഡം വ്യജനം സമാവിശൽ താമാഗതം നത്ര നശ്ചനാദ്രിയം ദുമാനിതം യജ്ഞകൃതോഭയാർജ്ജന കൃതേസു സർവൈ ജനനീം ജ സാദരാം പ്രേമാശ്രുതന്റെ പുരുഷസ്വ ജർമുദാം സൗകര്യ സംപ്രശ്ന സമർത്ഥവാർത്തയ മാതാ ച മാതൃശ്രുശ്രവിശ്ച സാദരം ദത്താം സപര്യം വരമാസനം ച സാദത്ര പിത്ര പ്രതിനന്ദിതാ സതീം അരുദ്രഭാഗം തമവേക്ഷയാധ്വരം പിത്രാ ച ദേവീ ഹൃതകേളനം വിഭോ അനാദൃത യജ്ഞസദസ്യതീശ്വരി ചുഗോപലോകാനിവദക്ഷതീരുഷാഹ. സോ ശ്രീ പാർവതി ദേവി ഓർ സതീദേവി, വെൻ ഷി വെന്റ് ഫോർ ദിസ് ആൻഡ് വെൻ ഷി വെന്റ് ടു ദി സാക്രിഫിഷ്യൽ സീൻ ആൻഡ് സോ ദാറ്റ് ദർ വാസ് നോ ഓഫറിംഗ് ഫോർ രുദ്ര ഫോർ ലോർഡ് ശിവ, ഷി ഇമ്മീഡിയറ്റ്ലി ഷി ബിക്കേം സോ ഫ്യൂറിയസ് ആൻഡ് അനാദൃത. That the way she was offended is mentioned in that verse, and how much she was concerned that what a kind of sacrifice Daksha was performing. When you do not accept these three, Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, they have come to this world on Krishna's right. Krishna has expanded into these three forms for the smooth functioning of this. And Vishnu was not even invited. Yet you know Saha, that Vishnu is actually the, all the sacrifices are meant to please the Supreme Lord Vishnu. Yajnyovai Saha, in the Vedas it says like that. So when Vishnu was not present there, Shiva was not present there, and Brahma was also not there in that sacrifice which he has performed, that is why all these things have happened in this way. It says like that. Shri Devi Vacham, and this is the prayer to addressing Shri Devi Vacham, that Shri Parvati or Sati Devi is addressing now Daksha. And talking about Lord Shiva's position in this world. Mayasya loge satishayana priya tatha apriyo deha pradam priyalmana tasmin samastha almani mukta vairage prade bhavandam kutama pradivayel doshan paresham hi guneshu sadhavo grihnan dige jinna bhava drishad vija gunamsha phalgun bahuli garishnavo mahatama steshu vidang bhavanaham ആശ്ചര്യമേ തദ്ദസൽസു സർവദ മഹദ്വിനിന്ദ പുണപാത്മവാദിഷു ശേഷ്യം മഹാപുരുഷപാദപാംസവിർ നിരസ്തുതേജസ്തു തദേവ ശോഭനം യദ്വക്ഷരം നാമകിരീരിതം നൃണം സുഹൃൽ പ്രസംഗാധകമാശു ഹന്തിതൽ പവിത്രകീർത്തിം തമലംഘ്യശാസനം ഭവാനഹോ ദ്വേഷ്ടി ശിവം ശിവേതര. ദാറ്റ് ദീസ് ടു ലെറ്റേഴ്സ് ശിവ, ബൈ ജസ്റ്റ് ബൈ ചാൻറ്റിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് നെയിം വൺ ഗെറ്റ്സ് റിലീസ്ഡ് ഫ്രം ഹിസ് സിൻഫുൾ റിയാക്ഷൻസ്. സോ മച്ച് പൊട്ടൻറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് നെയിം ഇസ്. യദ്വക്ഷരം നാമകിരീരിതം നൃണം സകൽ പ്രസംഗാത് അഖമാശു ഹന്തിതൽ, ഓൾ ദ സിൻഫുൾ റിയാക്ഷൻസ് ഗോസ് അവേ. പവിത്ര കീർത്തിം തമലംഘ്യ ശാസനം, ദാറ്റ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ലോർഡ് ശിവ, യു ഹാവ് ഒഫൻഡഡ് ഹിം. ഭവാനഹോ ദ്വേഷ്ടി ശിവം ശിവേതരം, ദാറ്റ് ടു സച്ച് എ ഗ്രേറ്റ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ശിവ, യു ഹാവ് ഡെവലപ്ഡ് ദിസ് എനിമിറ്റി ഇൻ യുവർ ഹാർട്ട്. ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ശ്രീ പാർവതി സതീദേവി ഈസ് റിമൈൻഡിങ് ദക്ഷ അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് പോയിന്റ്. യൽപാദവൽപം മഹതാം മനോളിഭിർ നിഷേവിതം ബ്രഹ്മരസാസ വാർത്തിവി. Great sages who are looking for transcendental knowledge, who are situated in a very high degree of renunciation and penances, they serve Lord Shiva to get transcendental knowledge. Yalpadavalpam mahadam manolibir nishevidam brahmarasa savarthivi Lokasayadvarshadija shishotinam stasmai bhavan ruhyadi vishabandhave. And this Vishabandhave, one of the nature of Lord Shiva is that he does not want anything for himself. He doesn't take anything for himself. That is his lifestyle. He is so renounced in his life that he does not require anything from anybody. He is so much detached to everything in this material world. That is the personality of Lord Shiva. And therefore, he is known as Vishwabandhave. He is the friend of everybody. And to that personality, you are going and hating him. Just see your ignorance. This is what Sadhidevi is telling to Daksha.
Yalpada valpam mahadamanoli virtnishevidam brahmanasasavarthivhi lokasayadvarshadi chashishortinam stasmai bhavan ruhyadi Vishwabandhave. Kim vashiva kim ashivamna vidustadani brahmadayastamagi yajadashmashani tanmalya basma mrgavalya vasatpishajar evo dhavirdhadi tacharanava srishtam karnopidayati nirayadam agalpamishe dharma vidadhyasam nibirandamirasyamani chindyal prasahya tashadim asadim prabushche jikhvam asuna vidado visadel swadharmam adastavolpanna vidam kalevaram nadhare visheshri kandagarhina jagvasya mohadi vishuddhimandaso jugupsidasyo dharanam prajakshadeem Veda-Vedani-Vartha-Devadi Swayeva-Logeira-Vato-Mahamuni Yadha-Agirir-Deva-Manushayo-Pradaksa-Eva-Dharma-Enavaram Shivel-Sthidam Karma-Pravattanga-Nivartha-Mapyadam-Vede-Vivichyo-Bhailingam-Ashridam Virodhita-Tyogupade-Gartari-Doyam-Tadha-Brahmani-Karma-Narchadim Mava-Padavya-Pidara-Smadastida Yaya-Yakya-Shara-Suna-Dhuma-Vartmavi Patanya-Drupta-Irasubat-Bhiririda Nayadehena Harikradagaso Deho Bhavina Namalam Kujanmana Vridamama Bhut Kujana Prasangadasta Janmadikyo Hadama Vadyangal Gotram Dudiyam Bhagavan Mrushadvajo Dakshaya Nitya Hayada Sudurmana Vibeda Narma Spidama Shudadhyam Pratistukshamedal Kunapam Tudangajam Sri Maitreya Vajam Ityudhare Dakshamanudya Shatruhan Shida Udijam Nishasal Shandava Sprishtuajanam Piradula Samrda Nimila Drugyo Gavadam Samavishal Kritwa samana vele ujidasanam sodhanam uthabhyana abhijakrada shanehradista apidiyo rasistinam kunda kandhal brivo madhyamanir nidhanayal.
So this is Sadhidevi is giving up her body, the whole sargam, as it is said in the Bhagavadam. That Sadhidevi decided to, after advising Daksha up to that point, that what he was doing was absolutely a foolish thing, inviting this destruction to himself. Sadhidevi decided to give up her body at that point, and she was preparing, and that is the, in these verses what you find, that she sat in the proper, she was a great yogi as well, all the yogic knowledge is available to her. So she sat in her position, started raising the soul through the Brahmarandram into the top of the head. Kritwa samana vanila ujidasanam sodhanam uthapidam avijakrada shanekhadista apidiyo rasistidam kundhadravor madhyamanindidanayal evam sudeham mahadamahiyasa muhu samarovidam angamadaral jihasadi dakshirusha manasvini gridhara gatre shanilagnidharanam tata subartuscharanam ujasavam jagadguro chindayadi inachavaram dadarshadeho hadagalmashasadi sadhya prajajwala samadijagminam. That the fire started burning up, and in that fire, the whole body was burning. There are so many different kinds of fires in the body. And a yogi, one who has knowledge of the yogic processes, are able to bring these fires out in the body at the time of when they want to give up their body. Tatpashyadam kebu vijalpudam mahanda hedi vadas mahana jayada handa priya daivadamasya devi jahavasunkena sadi pragobidam Ahomanatam Mahasivashada, Praja, Yasirajaram Praja, Jehu Avasun Yetimadal Praja, Sadimanasvini, Imanam Vishnamarhadim, Soyam Durmashakrayo, Brahmadaksha, Loke, Bazakim Mahadim, Avab Sidi, Yadangayam, Sambrishad Dulidam, Napratishetan Mudaye, Paradadam, Vadatimam Janisati, the Stuasdia, Amal Budam, the Chandal Pashada, Hamdamudavishnadaidam, Teshavadam, Begum Shami Bhagavan, Brugu, Yetnakmi, Jushad, Shinagno, Juhavaha. Adhurina huyamani devam ulpidro jasa rupavo namadavasa sobam prapta sahasrasha tairaladha yude sarvai pravada sahavuhyada hanyamana disho abhejo ashadbir brahmade jasa. It is Srimad Bhagavati Mahabrani Chaturthaskandhe Sadhir deho sargo nama chaturthodhyaya. So this name of this particular chapter is Sadhir deho sargam. That means Sadhir Devi's leaving her body. So then we have three more chapters, but I think it is post 7, so we'll read that in the next lesson. The only thing is, in all these chapters you will find something which is very important, that is the appearance of so many personalities are mentioned there, and Bhagavatam does not go into the details of those personalities. So you have to go into other Puranas where it is explained who they are, what they are, why did they appear, and what did they, how did they function later. For example, it's mentioned there about Markandeya Rishis. Who is Markandeya Rishi? Vasishtha Maharshi, Agastya Maharshi. And similarly, all the other great sages mentioned there. Also about the, from the the different demigods who are used in the Vedic mantras, like Swaha, Swadha, Vashad, all these personified forms, they also appeared there in their glorification. You will see, they all come later, when they glorified Lord Vishnu at that time. So their history, Shukracharya's history and all, it's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but you can get that information from the other Puranas, why Shukracharya appeared in that particular form at that time, who is Shukracharya, his background. Similarly, other sages also, Agastya Maharshi's life, Agastya Maharshi and Vasishtha Maharshi, they are brothers actually. Vasishtha Maharshi's younger brother is Agastya. So these two sages, when they appeared, their life, how did they appear? All these things are, their names are mentioned in the Bhagavatam. So in the Puranas. So Srimad Bhagavatam, if you want to thoroughly understand these chapters, we have to go through all those things also, other Puranas, stories from the other Puranas. But if we go on discussing all the other Puranas, we won't get very far on the Srimad Bhagavatam. We will get carried away. So to other things. So we will keep to Srimad Bhagavatam as much as possible. But at the same time, it is good to know that who these different personalities, because they keep appearing in the Srimad Bhagavatam later on also. Like Shukracharya comes later on, as Bali Maharaj's spiritual master. And similarly, it's also mentioned in these chapters the history of some of these sacrifices and in what conditions these sacrifices are performed. For example, Daksha performed Brihaspati Savam, Vajaveyam. Who performs Vajaveyam? Who performs Brihaspati Savam? These things are also mentioned there. For example, one particular sacrifice, if you perform, it has to be followed by another sacrifice. And there are rules and regulations on this. What sacrifice should be followed by which sacrifice later on. And if a king performs, what happens? Or a brahmana performs, what happens? So in this way, Srimad Bhagavatam has only taken the important things from the other Puranas while explaining these things here. But if one wants to know more about it, one has to also refer to the other Puranas. And that will help and will give you a little bit more insight into the importance of these sacrifices and why Daksha was performing this sacrifice, why the Vishwasrishti Karta, that means the Varuna, Chandra, Agni and Vayu and all the other demigods, they perform different sacrifices. This is all comes in these few chapters. And later on, at the end of this, we will read that in the next lesson, that when Supreme Personality of Godhead came down into that sacrifice at the end, there is a glorification by all those who were present there in that assembly, in that sacrifice. They all individually glorified Vishnu there. And in that glorification, if you read, you will notice there that every one of them have revealed their understanding of the truth. Brahma spoke in one particular way. The sages spoke in a different way. Similarly, all those assembled there, the different demigods, they spoke in a different way. So their prayers also comes there, glorifying Vishnu and what is Vishnu's position among the deities. So this is also interesting in this story, which we will continue in the next lesson. If there's any questions or comments, please.
Okay, Lashua is saying that the reason why he offered it is for Daksha.
Yes. This is basically Lord Shiva is saying Daksha's complaint was, when he walked in, why did Shiva didn't get up? This was his main concern. It says in the Bhagavatam like this, that when he walked in, everybody got up. Because of the karmakanda practices he had, he was so much in the mood of passion. What is passion means? What is actually karmakanda and passion means? Passion means rajogunam. Rajogunam means nothing but two things are with rajogunam. One is pravarti, activity all the time, karma. Along with that, abhimanam, the pride which goes with that. These are the two things which, when somebody is infected with rajogunam, manifests in that person. You can see all the big, big men of this world. They think that they have done this, I've done this, I've done that. And they are making decision for the welfare of the world. They think that they are doing this for the welfare of the world. That's what they are doing, that thing. So basically, they feel that this different decisions they make is with the interests of the welfare of the world. So similarly, Daksha also thought that I am performing sacrifices, and with them sacrifices I have done what I have to do. But this abhimanam, this pride that is developed, is coming from this rajogunam. Rajogunam means, which any activity, karma has one big, big problem. Any karma what you perform is generates ignorance in a person. That is the problem with karma. If karmakandam itself is generating ignorance, you can imagine what ordinary material activities, ignorance it can create in you over a period of time. So that's the law. So our Daksha was also caught up in that, and he felt that Lord Shiva should have got up. After all, he has married my daughter, so why should he not get up? This was his point. And Shiva, because he is so transcendently situated, he has no difference between Daksha or Saridevi or anybody for that matter. He is so transcendently situated, etiquette doesn't demand that a personality of that position need to respect Daksha. Daksha is not anywhere near to Lord Shiva's position. So absolutely there was no need for Shiva to get up. But apart from that, Lord Shiva realized that if I had, for him, getting up or sitting down was not a problem. Already he sensed that this Daksha had this pride in him building up. And by getting up, only he was fanning it up further, or he was encouraging him to build up that pride too much. So rather he felt that if I had to do something good for him, as far as later on he said to Saridevi this, as far as I am concerned, Shiva said to Saridevi, whether Daksha goes this way or that way, it doesn't matter to me. I have nothing to get from you or from him. There's nothing I require from you. But if he gets improves himself, it is all the way better. So only for his benefit, I did this, that I sat down, didn't want to give any more consideration to him, so that let his pride go away with that intention. But unfortunately, the pride didn't go. On the other hand, it got worse and worse, just like you see in this world also sometimes. Once the enmity builds up between two groups of people, or to sometimes two individuals, that grows further and further. And both sides wants to stop it, but they are not able to stop it. This is what we find. So many conflicts goes on in this world in the same thing. That both are suffering. Both sides are suffering. Neither of them are able to come out of it. Now both of them want to stop it also, but they don't know what to do. But on the other hand, they engage further in such activity, and enmity builds further, deepen it. So same thing, Lord Shiva thought that if he gets some realization from my sitting down, and he understands that he doesn't deserve all that respect what he is thinking over himself, may that change him. But unfortunately, Shiva realized that it is not so. He has got deeper, he got hurt deeply, and he started taking more offensive. That is why, after that, for the next sacrifice, when he was invited, Lord Shiva said to Saridevi, if I go there, I am actually inviting offenses. You see, inviting offenses. You go there to invite offenses, rather than I will refrain from going there. And that's what that decision was taken by Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva, who has no enemy, no friends, neither enemy nor friends, nor required anything from any one of us, because of his such a superior position of his great austerities and penances. That's what has made him Bhavana ho dveshti shivam shivedara. There it says there, Sri Parvati says to him, Saridevi says to Daksha, that do you understand who Lord Shiva is, his position is? And Daksha has not come to his senses still. So from there you can see that this Daksha's relationship with Lord Shiva has somehow developed in this unfortunate way, and he had to pay heavy price for it at a later stage.
While you were reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam today, you indicated that Daksha insulted Lord Shiva by saying that you were wearing horns and having cemetery dust.
Yeah.
But last week, what you said was that Daksha cursed him to actually have all of this. So I couldn't understand.
By Shiva Pantha, that is what the word they have used there. That means that all the followers of Lord Shiva will also develop the same attitude like Lord Shiva. And Lord Shiva, this habit has come to him actually from Daksha's curse. That is how it is mentioned in the incident there. Did I mention
today,
it like that?
You mentioned it last week, but this week when you were reciting it, you said that he didn't curse him. He was just saying, he insulted him, saying that you wear this, you do this, you're no good.
Yeah.
But last week you said you cursed him.
It is actually his curse, Daksha's curse on him. Probably I didn't read out the part before that, because where it says about Daksha and Nandi cursing each other about it. Actually, Daksha has spoken this in the sacrifice, and Daksha's followers like Bhrigu and others, they were also involved in that, in this cursing phenomenon. And when Daksha cursed Lord Shiva like that, it was then that Shiva's Bhudagana, so the associates, cursed Daksha back. But it has happened after the curse that particular Shiva's like that. Yes, he has to do that. But even otherwise, Lord Shiva's clothes or dress, and also Lord Shiva's habits, habits means his nature, according to the Puranas, is different. It's not like Krishna's activities or even any other demigods. It's different. Lord Shiva's dress is always the skin of an elephant. That's his cloth. And he has got a deer skin on his shoulder. And he allowed the moon to stay in his matted hair. That is why he is known as Jaradhari and also Chandramauli, as he is called. So different names of Lord Shiva has appeared from his different dresses, what he wore. And during the process of, there is another instance when Lord Shiva has a major role in the Bhagavadam. That comes in the, I think it is in the 8th canto, when the churning of the milk ocean happens, when he was asked by Vishnu to take the Kalakodam poison, and when he took that. That time, Sati Devi and Lord Shiva appears again there. Shri Parvati and Lord Shiva appears there to shelter the world. So there also, and then again later on in the after the churning, the milk ocean, as Lord Shiva pursued Krishna in his Mohini form, and that story comes later. There also Lord Shiva's glories are mentioned. But basically, Lord Shiva is the supreme personality in his. Who always engaged in meditating on Sankarsana form in Kailasam, and through him there is a disciplic succession, as you know probably, that which is the Vishnu Swami's disciplic succession, where he is the their spiritual master. He offers the spiritual knowledge to Vishnu Swami, and there were many great acharyas who appeared in that tradition of Vishnu Swami's tradition. So Lord Shiva is beyond our understanding, many, many ways. It's beyond our understanding, Lord Shiva's position. And he is sometimes, many of the acharyas, Sridharajari Swamiji particularly, when he commented on the Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that he is all auspicious. Lord Shiva is all auspicious. Therefore, he is known, called the name as Shankara. An auspicious name has been given to him. And Sri Rajari Swamiji glorifies Lord Shiva very arrogantly later on in the 10th canto, when the Vedas personified, glorified Krishna at that time. So that's the way it is. Daksha was also a very powerful person. Daksha was, you see, how did Daksha get into that position? Daksha was a Prajapati. Prajapati means those who have got the ability to create. So Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, the three entities, Trimurtis as they are called, they are here for the maintenance of this, smooth running of this creation. In other words, Brahma creates, Vishnu maintains, and Lord Shiva destroys. This is the system. So Prajapatis were in Brahma's creation. Prajapatis comes in, because Prajapatis have got, if you look in the Bhagavatam, you'll find there's so many Prajapatis name mentioned, Kashyapa Prajapati, Kasha Prajapati, and so many Prajapatis there. So Prajapati's duty is to create. Now, among these, in this creation, put creative potency, Brahma received from Krishna. Krishna, when shook his hands with Brahma, he transferred that creative potency to Brahma. And from Brahma, the Prajapatis got the creative potency. Brahma wanted to create very badly, and that was his function. So during that creative process, all these Prajapatis had a great input into it. But among the Prajapatis, Daksha was elected as the leader. So when he was selected as the leader, Daksha has also got the role that in all the big sacrifices, he had a role along with the Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva. So in that role, when he was given to him that as the top head of the Prajapatis, Daksha, because of his karmakanda service or the karmakanda nature in him, he started developing this Rajogunam in him strongly. This is what that is trying to tell us. That when the Rajogunam builds up in one, whom you will love and whom you will hate, all discrimination will go. Your pride will take over everything else. And when you become too proud, then you cannot see anything properly. Who he is in what position. You can even become envious of the Supreme Lord and even envious of the great personalities like Lord Shiva. And that is what has happened to Daksha Prajapati. That karmagandam sometimes is actually meant to liberate oneself from this world if it is done properly. But Daksha Prajapati's case, what has happened was that he somehow got attached to karmagandam and then the results from that. And there is a very, very profound statement of karmagandam in the Bhagavatam. That karmagandam, nirvinna karma vaghe khali vishamadamam, that if you perform karmakandam, it is the most difficult thing to perform. Why? Once you get attached to it, and attachment will definitely happen. Why? As much as you perform sacrifices, the results are coming. When the results are coming, you will start thinking, this is what the right way to go. Because you're unlike the Bhakti Yogam and Jnana Yogam, where there is no results coming, you have to wait for a longer time. Karma Yoga, karmakandam instantaneously offers you the result. Nurvinne karma margam khale vishavadamam tulkatha daujagadam jada shraddho mimama anamadam naiva shakno mihadam. That this nirvinam, if nirvinam means without attachment. Without attachment, if you are able to perform karmakanda, you will succeed in that. But it is hardly anyone able to do that because of the complexities of this karmakanda. Karmakanda will eventually get you pulled into it. That sacrifices, once you perform and you see the result, you want to do the next one, you want to do one after that, and then Vedas is full of graphic description of these karmakanda section everywhere. In all the Vedas, this is one of the most important topic. So it is not unusual that people get attracted to it. That, I mean, it is better to have something which you see the result directly here, rather than perform something which you do not know what will happen after your 50 years of Bhakti Yoga or Jnana Yoga. So generally people get attracted to it, and that's what has happened to Daksha also. So that's the way it is. It's just the most
famous
of Gandhari, she was able to curse Lord Krishna after the battle. Yeah. You see, their wealth was austerity. All these, Gandhari, but Krishna was so calculative in all these things before. When she went to Gandhari, he has taken protection against all that. Gandhari incha tapaswini. That is how Bhagavatam says about Gandhari. Gandhari was a tapaswini. Tapaswini means because due to her tapas or penances, she has attained that position of Gandhari. But the Supreme Personality of God, Krishna, is not affected by anybody's curse, or he has nothing to do with anybody in any way. But in these transcendental relationships, well, that's like if you ask why Sati Devi had to go through this, where is the answer? The answer is this, that in this long history of this planet, that you will notice that in so many personalities are assisting Krishna in different ways, in different times. And Sri Parvati and Lord Shiva, they had to do this because it is through them that we get Srimad Bhagavatam. Otherwise, we won't know what this Rajoguna means. If one is thoughtful and one is intelligent in understanding these things, it's a good lesson to learn that what disaster or havoc Rajogunam or mode of passion can create. Generally, people have this misunderstanding that if somebody is very active and doing a lot of things in this world, that he is doing so many things and he should be doing a great service to the society. But it's not necessarily. Unless one is in knowledge, his activities are useless. All it will cause is destruction. First of all, Prabhupada used to say often that before you start doing something to somebody, you have to know what is good and what is bad. Without knowing what is good and what is bad, you try to start thinking that, oh, I'm doing good for everybody else. Every living entity who come to this material world, on account of karma, they come here. And they have a destiny to suffer or enjoy. To a large degree, it's already pre-settled. You can't alter it too much. On the one hand, you are creating war, and on the other hand, you are doing relief work. You can see this all the time going on here. And that relief work, what relief are you giving to anybody? On the other hand, you are manufacturing weapons and supplying them to fight. On the other hand, you are sending another group to for the relief activity. So this is all coming from this lack of understanding of Karma Shastram, the science of karma. So if karma is understood properly, then one will not endeavor in that direction too much. That's why Prabhupada was saying that all the time, that first of all, you have to learn to discriminate things and to understand what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. If you do not know what is good, he used to tell us a very, very nice story, and it's so interesting story. Once one old person was walking through Calcutta. Prabhupada explained it in a long time it took, and it was so funny also to listen to that. So when he was walking through the streets in some particular house, one mother, she was beating up a young boy with a stick and punishing him very heavily. So I know some people might have heard this story before. So at that time, the old person stopped there and asked this lady, why are you beating him up like this? Very mercilessly she was beating him. So the lady said to him that this boy has got a sister who is lying at home with typhoid. So elder sister, the boy is younger. So when you have typhoid, normally you don't eat anything very heavy food. So the mother said that I told the boy that even if she asks for something to eat, because naturally when children have a desire to eat something nice all the time, especially when they are sick, so don't give her anything. But when the mother was not there, mother was doing something somewhere else, the little girl wanted to eat something badly. And so she asked him what's there in the kitchen for her to taste. So the boy said that I have some nice pakoras or kachoris in the kitchen. I'll bring something and give it to you. So he went into the kitchen, and without being noticed by the mother and by anybody, she gave it to her. The mother later found out that this has happened. And when she found out, because the doctor has very clearly instructed that you don't give anything to her, heavy food, because of the illness. When she came to know about it, she started beating him up. So Prabhupada used to say that the boy had good intention of helping that little girl. But the result was he got beaten up. So he said that all your so-called relief activities in this world are exactly like that, he said. You do not know what is Krishna's plans are. You do not know what Krishna, why somebody is suffering in this world. You have no idea why that person has put into that awkward situation. And still you are doing your relief work happily, thinking that, oh, you are doing the right thing, comes from the ignorance. This is why where knowledge is necessary, that one should understand spiritual side of life. And without practicing Krishna consciousness, without spreading Krishna consciousness, which is the ultimate solution to material disarray, material distress, Prabhupada said that this is the topmost solution to these problems. Otherwise, simply we will work on an ignorant platform and we will not know what will be the result at the end. If Krishna's plan is that somebody has been put into that awkward situation and he has to suffer like that, all your relief work is not the answer to that. That people are not Krishna conscious. And if you become Krishna conscious, like Srimad Bhagavatam says, that these distress, material distresses and material, this quarreling nature, all these things will go. And that is what Krishna consciousness means. That the lower modes of nature is what impels a person to take up arms and fight like that. Because he forgets this, that he has to leave this world in a short time. What's he fighting about? But unfortunately, like in the Bhagavad Gita it says there, isn't it? Often Krishna has repeatedly said that when the lust and anger builds up inside, he loses all his sense of discrimination. And then he acts in a whimsical way. So the message is this, that anything, Rajogunam can develop all these things. In fact, in some instances, Rajogunam is more dangerous than even than Tamogunam. Tamogunam, at least you are finished, that's all. You're not disturbing somebody. But Rajogunam is such that not only you, but you are disturbing others as well in this world, in their activities. And you can see in the modern world, more than Tamogunam, it's Rajogunam that is predominant. And that is why it is too much disturbing also to many, many people. Everyone is proposing that, oh, why you bombed here, why you bombed there, and they are saying that, oh, he has done this and he is behind that. And this argument, endless arguments. But none of them have any understanding that behind all these things, it's the modes of nature that's pushing them to do it. And the three modes of nature are powerful, controlling them so strongly. And they have no endeavor to come out of that modes of nature. Once you come out of the modes of nature, you can see things a little bit more clearer and also able to appreciate that what Srimad Bhagavatam is talking about.
I just got one question. You were talking about death, and you were saying it should be too much attracted to friends or enemies, or dwell on them.
Mm-hmm.
And you took the example of
Bharat Maharaj, and the deer. Yeah.
But you then said that enemies, you can forget friends, but you can't forget enemies.
Yeah.
So even if you were of a good character and someone actually someone distressed you and you were his enemy or vice versa, if you were to dwell on the enemy in your next lifetime, that's what you'd be, would you?
Mm-hmm. Yes, that's right. Then
your good nature today may
yes.
go worse in your next
exactly,
lifetime because
precisely, yes.
you've thought of the enemy.
Exactly. And fine, it says there that it comes later in the Rajas Kandam, it is much more detailed explained. That if you dwell on somebody, that is why love, Prabhupada says, love is only for Krishna, nobody else. And if you have to love or hate anybody, you should do that to Krishna, not to others. Because even if you hate Krishna to the maximum, one day you will get some benefit, like Shishwalandana, Krishna will kill you and take you away from here. Or if you love Krishna, which is the best, that is bhakti. Bhakti means loving Krishna. But if you develop this relationship with other entities in this world, it means new bodies afterwards. Again another body. And again, the same thoughts will come back because you died with those thoughts in your mind. So, accordingly, whom you have hated or loved, that love and hate will go with you. And if you happen to know that whom you have loved or hated in your previous life, then it can get worse as well. So, there are some stories in the Puranas in relationship with that also, that from previous lives they hated each other and their hate carried on to the next life again. So it is neither good to do this or that, either the friends or the enemies. That relationship is not a good thing to continue like that.
So even for a devotee, it happens, even for a devotee, it's chanting, and
yeah.
even that overcomes?
This law is universal, devotee or non-devotee. your devotee is not somebody who is very, very exempted from all the rules and regulations. Rules stand for everybody. But devotee has to become like this. Devotee has to learn all these things. In the Bhagavatam, what says that love and hating and all these things are, if you are a pure, good devotee, these things won't be there. Also, you can see that. A devotee, when he has come to that level of understanding, if he is purified enough, then you don't hate anybody, you don't love anybody either. You serve Krishna and you live in this world. Like Prabhupada was doing that, isn't it? He has no feeling, attachment to anybody. Anyone who came, Prabhupada gave them Krishna consciousness and sent them back. So that is the best service to do to anybody. And not to love and hate. This love and hate business is a very dangerous thing. That will only end up in further problems afterwards. So, yeah.
So that means that when the devotee has come to that point of not having friends or enemies, then at the time of death, all his past from, let's say, from before he was a devotee, bad relationships,
yeah,
or people that they,
yeah,
they won't come back.
Because if you have learned this principle from Bhagavatam, that this loving and hating is not my business, that has happened at different times in life due to different reasons. But at some stage we have to learn to forget things also in this world. Constantly bickering on things, what has happened 100 years ago, 500 years ago, like so many times in this world you see, enmity which has come from generations after is carried on by, they are unable to forget that forgetfulness, they are not able to. We have to learn to forget what is necessary and we have to learn to remember what is necessary. But what happens in all our life is, we cannot remember what we need to remember and we cannot forget what we have to forget. This is our most difficult situation for us. And that is why you find all these conflicts in this world going on and under different names going on. Goes on like this. But Srimad Bhagavatam says there, if you have developed that understanding rightly in your heart and you have purified yourself in that way, sometime or the other by Krishna's grace, that Krishna will come. And fortunately, if you have developed attachment for Krishna in this lifetime, then your journey back to spiritual world is guaranteed. There is nothing to fearful about it. But if you still, we, as a devotee also, if I keep still my feelings and enmity towards other devotees or other god brothers or somebody like that, and if I continue carrying that with me, I am not exempted from that rule. Rule will take its own course. Nobody can be exempted from that.
Sorry, in the context of children, we did all that.
Yes.
And we disguise it by responsibility and call it commitment.
That's correct. Yes.
So, is that attachment wrong?
No. So attachment is always there. That is not some wrong in the sense. But what Srimad Bhagavatam is saying is that a father's responsibility to the child, to the one's own children, is first how to teach him to come out of the cycle of birth and death. That's the first responsibility. Material responsibility comes later. Okay, material responsibility is there. I'm not saying it doesn't exist. It does exist. But higher than that, if a father has not taught his children how to develop Krishna consciousness in life, then he has not done his duty to the child. But he is falsely thinking, I've provided everything for him. Many, many parents lament at the old age that I'll provide everything for my children, but at the old age they've gone in their own way. They've acted on it. But whatever you have provided materially, that is not so important as what you have provided spiritually. Even if you have lacked in providing material things to the children, if you have missed out on the spiritual side of life, the father has not fulfilled his duty. This is the version of the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam doesn't say that you should not provide your family members. It never said anywhere like that. You should provide, but on the top of that, if one is not providing what his actual responsibility is, there is a, in the fifth canto, there is this instruction from Vrishabhadev. There is a verse very, very specific about it. namo jayedya samaveda mrityam, that if father by his work, by his life, he should be endeavoring for spiritual perfection in his own life. In addition to that, father has also got to show his children that this is how you should live, this is the goal of life. So that has to be brought into the children's mind at an early age itself. That's the duty of the father. And after that, the rest of the things, like somebody who has accepted a body as a father, has to provide for the children, that is there. But even if you have not done that job perfectly, if you have done the spiritual side of it perfectly, Krishna says that's more important. The time of death, there is very different situations. Some people die in full consciousness. Some people die in coma. Also, they can leave their body. Although, externally, we do not know what is going on in their consciousness. Bhagavatam says that even in that type of conditions, in the coma also, there are thoughts going through your mind at that time. It's not that you're free from any thoughts. You're not conscious of it, but thoughts are going through your mind still at the time of death. And in any condition. And those thoughts will influence your next stage in life. So you cannot escape from these things. These are laws which are laid out by Krishna's arrangement. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, at different instances, it's reminding us always to be careful, watchful about it, that if you do this, this will be the result. And in fact, why Srimad Bhagavatam is saying this, this time of death is so critical, because the whole life is basically preparation towards that, nothing else. We think that we have so many responsibilities in this world, and family, relations, friends, this, that and the other. But they have come to this world. We got them only after we came to this world. They didn't come along with us in this world. First we came, or we happened to take birth in some family, and then parents were there. The parents, you had some relationship with the parents. At some time in life, they left you and they went away. Once they leave, in a short time, that attachment is also broken. Then it's only a memory once a year or so. If you have a Shraddha ceremony or something, you remember. Otherwise, even you don't remember that. Then your wife and children have come later in your life. Just like they have come, they will also go one day. So thoughtful person can understand that this is not a permanent relationship with them anytime. It is as much as they have come one day, they will leave you also one day. So you can't take that as the ultimate relationship. So in any condition, when one dies, one is alone. There is nobody with him to help. Nobody can help you also. But Krishna says there that if one has pleased me, served Krishna, and if he is able to remember Krishna at the time of death, then he has a good possibility of a better life after that, whatever that Krishna offers him. And this is the message that all the great devotees bring to us. Whether you read any of the Acharya's literature or any of the Puranas, Upanishads, everything, they point out this one point very strongly. At the time of death, what happens? Now, Varnashrama Dharma, people give a lot of importance to Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari, Grastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas and all that. These things can help you. If it is there, it's good. It's not that it is Krishna has created them for the benefit of the society, that society should divide like this. And by doing that, devotion will develop. That is the benefit of Varnashrama Dharma. But Dharmam Varnashramanam Shruti Pada Vihidam Yal Taratyena Bhaktya, it says there that this Varnashrama Dharma Shruti Pada Vihidam, it has come from the Shruti, from Vedas, it's there. But just because Varnashrama Dharma is not there, that doesn't mean that we should stop Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness should continue even if there is no Varnashrama Dharma. Varnashrama Dharma may be there, may not be there. That's another thing. Today, due to changed circumstances, Varnashrama Dharma doesn't exist in this world to a large degree. But that does not mean that one should not have Krishna consciousness. Because what is important at the time of death is Krishna consciousness, not Varnashrama Dharma. I was a Brahmana. I can't make a claim at the time of death I was a Brahmana. so I should get everything. No, it is Krishna consciousness that benefits a person at the time of death. So that's the way it is, the law works. Yeah, it is not good, yes.
He says, you should be conscious.
Yes. But often, due to old age and diseases, at the time of leaving the body, you may not know what condition is going to happen. Not many people will have the good fortune to die in full consciousness. Like in the Bhagavatam, we'll referring to this. It says there that one who leaves the body in full consciousness in the daytime, he generally will go into the higher planets. Because you know that we have 6 months, our time is 1 day in the heavenly planets, and 6 months in the night is 1 day, one night there, 6 months here. So our 1 year is 1 day and one night there. So normally when the soul leaves this body and when it goes, it starts its traveling. Generally, who are not sinful and who have lived as a devotee, normally it will go up. It is that's the normal way to, it will go up to higher planets. But when you are going to a strange place where you do not know what the conditions are, it's better to land there during the daytime, isn't it? Rather than in the night time. So that's why Uttarayanam time, Bhishmadeva wanted to leave this world. Uttarayanam time, that 6 months, Agni, Jyoti, Ahas, Shuklam, Shanmasa, Uttarayanam, Bhagavad Gita says. That time, that this 6 months of Uttarayanam, when the soul goes back into the higher planets, that period is considered to be auspicious, in full consciousness if you die, if you are fortunate enough. But you can imagine that when the body gets, little by little, it loses its strength and eventually you get sick and old age and everything. What these doctors will do to us, you don't know. They could, they will, to make life easier for you, they will inject all sorts of things into your body and they will put you into what they call as the intensive care unit, which means like a glass house, they put you inside that. And the rule in the glass house or intensive care is that you are not allowed to make any noise there. That means you can't even chant. We won't allow you to chant even if you want to, because you are under intensive care. That's what they call it, isn't it? Intensive care. So if somebody wants to help you to come and chant for you in the hospital, it could be that the intensive care and the doctors won't allow you even to chant, because in their calculation what they do, they are preparing for supplying, what do they call it, you know, into the blood, they start life support machine, they want to put it on for you and to make your life as hellish as possible, not allow you to live this body in a peaceful way, make your life as difficult as possible. All these things can happen. So this is why I was saying that that devotee, knowing very well that all these things can happen, he said to Krishna, there is no guarantee that at the time of death I may remember you. Where is the guarantee that at the time of death I will get an opportunity to remember you? Therefore, and you may not remember me either. So both ways it can happen. I may not remember you, nor Krishna might forget about me. What happens then? So then there is only one thing that is left, simply praying to Krishna for the mercy. And that is why mercy becomes very, very important. Simply by Krishna's mercy, praying to Krishna all the time for mercy, one is never lost. One is always gaining from that. Krishna is merciful. His mercy is one of his great qualities. That Krishna offers that mercy to a devotee, and especially suddenly Krishna will remember, yes, he has done all these things for me, so I should take care of him. That's my responsibility. That thoughts will come to Krishna at that time. Sometimes in the Ekadasha Skandam, you will notice, Krishna has given these mystic powers to many devotees. Uddhava asked Krishna, why did you give all these mystic powers? Do you know what Krishna has answered? Why these mystic powers are given? Krishna said to Uddhava, that I have given these mystic powers to devotees because Kala Kshapana Hedava, that at some time in their life, if they find some difficulty to maintain themselves, all they have to do is to show some of these mystic powers. People will come and throw gold there in front of them. Krishna said. It can only help you that much. Because normally Krishna says, I don't forget my devotees. Normally I don't. But if by any reason if I forget it, he should have some ways to maintain himself. So I given this mystic powers to the devotees. Krishna says this in the Agastya Skandam, you can read it. So similarly, there is no thing that Krishna is always will remember you. Sometimes depending on your consciousness, what you have done for Krishna. Krishna has got billions and billions of living entities under Krishna's shelter. So what it means is that there is a possibility at some time Krishna also may forget us. And something has to be done at that time to get that mercy from Krishna. So constantly holding on to Krishna's lotus feet is the answer. There is nothing else you can do. Nobody else can help us. If you hold on to Krishna's lotus feet, Krishna will protect you. That is what Krishna guarantees. And different grades of devotees, if you are like Arjuna or Uddhava, it's a different situation. They had the good fortune of being with Krishna in this planet. They had the good fortune of serving Krishna the way Krishna wanted them to serve. What fortune have we had? We have come to this world 5,000 years after Krishna has left this planet. And that is the time gap between us and Krishna, 5,000 years. That's the gap between us. And today we are sitting here and trying to glorify Krishna in our own limited way, whatever little understanding we have in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Krishna has got millions and millions of devotees all over the world glorifying him, all over the creation actually, not only in this planet. So what are we insignificant from that point of view? That's why you will notice Narottam Das Thakur's prayers and so many other great devotees, they are begging for this mercy constantly from Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, and so many others, they're simply begging all the time, show us this mercy. Yes, Krishna should know, but will Krishna will act? This is the question. Krishna knows everything, but will Krishna act? Krishna knows so many things, what we do not know about ourselves, Krishna knows more than us. But Krishna, to make Krishna to act at that point is a critical thing. The time of death is so critical that it's only a short time. And if Krishna doesn't bring that support, life support machine straight away, then we are in danger. And then as soon as you change the body, go in another one, it's a different situation. So the possibilities are always there. Everything depends on our attachment to Krishna also. In fact, we may have done so many things in life, but if the attachment has not grown strongly in the mind for Krishna, how can Krishna remember us? That is the point. That if you have performed spiritual life, you have acted in a particular way, ultimately that bhakti, devotion has developed in the heart. That question is there always. That how much will I remember Krishna? How much do I remember Krishna in difficulties today, first of all? What to speak about at the time of death? Even today we don't have that strong, even now, if there is a problem in life, immediately we want to sort it out in the world outside. We are not dependent on Krishna to that degree as we think we are. We think sometimes we are dependent on Krishna, but to what degree? That's the question.
Yeah, they're coming. Oh,
I'm sorry about that. Yeah, we'll have to stop now. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Vasudevaya.